See all these people celebrating birthdays. Next Sunday, I get to celebrate a birthday. And what's really neat about my birthday is that I've got a very special person that my family loves, and they're able to remember my birthday every year. And the guy who's got a birthday on July the 21st is Barney Fife. Some of you got that one, and you know who Barney is. But anyway, I don't have to worry about the kids forgetting my birthday every year, because all they got to do is think about Barney. You know, I think about birthdays. The older you get, the more you think about birthdays and the ones you don't want to have. And, you know, it's interesting. This morning, I'd like us to look at some different types of fruit. And I know that we're enjoying a beautiful summer, and we're enjoying all the different fruits. This week I've had cantaloupe, watermelon, peaches, bananas. Every time I come home and Karen goes to the grocery store, we've got some new fruit. I wish we were growing it there on the property. But you understand how precious fruit is. You know, I've got a little outline I put together here, and usually I start at the top left and end up at the middle, the bottom of the page. But this morning I'd like to start at the bottom of the page in the middle column, because this particular verses in Psalm 92 reminds me of what I want now that I'm really getting older. Listen to what it says here in Psalm 92:12. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit, and here's the point, in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing, to declare that the Lord is upright, that He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. And you know, I'm praying that the Lord would be able to work this out in my heart and in my life as I get older. I'll be 37 next Sunday. Sometimes I get things backwards. But you get it. Here's David in this great psalm, and he's asking God that he flourish, that he blossom, that he have fruit in his old age, and that he would be able to declare, in verse 15 there, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and he, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Now that's quite a message to be able to proclaim, isn't it? And you know, I'm thrilled every Sunday morning when we come to the worship meeting, and we get to proclaim that truth. The Lord is upright. He is my rock. He took me out of a miry clay and set my feet upon a solid rock, and has established my goings. And that's what we all want, isn't it? As we grow older and see how the Lord has used things in our lives, and to be able to continue to use us, even until the day that we pass away. You know, a good friend of ours, Norman Geisler. Lauren knows him very well. She's cooked many meals for him in Charlotte. He died week before last, and his birthday is July 21st. And he produced fruit all the way up until the day he died. That's what I want. And I'm sure that's what all of us want, isn't it? We want the Lord to use us in His service until the day that we are taken home. I want us to think about some of the different types of fruit. And I hate to start off this morning in a negative situation, negative verses. But as I thought about the different types of fruit, and I was really motivated about the fruit, when I thought about this fruit in my old age. Fruit in my old age. And so I started to study, and I found out that the word fruit is found 51 times in the New Testament. And I went through and looked at all of those different verses and the different context, And I was able to just bless the Lord looking at all of these verses and to see the truths associated with bearing fruit. And you know, most of you, like me, if you hear the word fruit, you think of the fruit of the Spirit. Well, I want us to get there and to look at the fruit of the Spirit and the type of soil it takes to produce that kind of fruit. But before we get to that section, I'd like us to look at it from the negative point of view. You have the fruit of the Spirit, but you also have the fruit of the flesh, don't you? You remember when Ray was going through Romans chapter 6, he shared a little bit about that fruit. And let me just read this to you right here. It says in Romans 6:20, and this is not on your outline at all. It says, "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in those things which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's amazing, isn't it? We used to have fruit that we did not want to have, and that particular fruit led to death. You know, before you eat fruit in, that's brought into the house, what do you always do with the fruit before you eat it? Don't you take it to the sink and you wash it and you look at it very carefully and make sure that it's healthy and there's no poison or anything in it, nothing dead in that fruit that you're getting ready to eat? Well, that's what our lives used to be like without Christ. But now we have been born again. We've been saved. Now, those verses there in Romans tells us that we are now producing fruit unto holiness. That's what we want. But I want us to think about it. In Galatians chapter 5, 22, that's where you start reading about the fruit of the Spirit. But before you get to that particular passage of Scripture in verse 22, if you back up to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, and I've got that at the top left part of the outline here. And does everybody have an outline? Okay. Okay, there you see the fruit of the flesh. And this is the fruit that none of us want. You know, when you get saved, you discover that these truths are going on in your heart and life. There's a battle that's going on the inside. There's the fruit of the flesh, or the struggle of the flesh, and there's the struggle of the Spirit. Which one are you going to serve? It's our choice, isn't it? We get to choose who we're going to serve. But look at what it says here in verse 16 of that Galatians passage. It says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Isn't that amazing? That when you are living, and we'll see some of the things here that produces the fruit that God wants us to have in our life. When we're living for the Lord and living a life that's pleasing to Him, we're being led by what? The Spirit of God. But there's a struggle going on, right? We know that when we get saved, the Spirit comes and resides in us, and that's where that struggle is coming from. The Spirit's telling us what we need to do that's right, and the flesh is telling us what? There's pleasure in sin for a season, isn't it? That's what the flesh is, and the devil is trying to tell us. But you know, I put some verses here that describes the fruit of the flesh. And you'll see in these verses right here, you'll see a progression in this particular sin. And it starts off with pleasure, and you'll see that it ends up in terrible actions. Now, I've if you'll notice on your outline, verse 19 there, I've got NLT. That means that I really put those verses there from the New Living Translation because I don't have to define all of the words, and it puts it in a good context. Listen to what it says here. When you were follower, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Here's what's going to happen if you follow your sinful nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, divisions, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, on your right-hand side, I've got a little outline that I put together. And you'll see on that right side, you see a progression of the flesh, how it works. It starts off with immorality. And that's the trap that many people fall into, right? And I've discovered this about being a man. You can see a whole lot better than you can think. And I've discovered also in life that ladies want to dress so that the men will focus on their beauty and how attractive they are. And so what you end up, if you're not careful, you end up in some of these things right here that we just read about. But think about immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures. That's where it starts, that, isn't it? And you know, Satan says, you know, try it, you'll like it. You know, everybody else is doing it, so you ought to do it too. There's nothing wrong with it, because if everybody else is doing it, it's okay for you. But where does it lead you to? Look at the next progression. You end up with a philosophy of life, and I've got religion there because it mentions here idolatry and sorcery. Now, you think about idolatry and sorcery. What is that? Well, idolatry is when you find some particular god or something that will tell you that what you're doing is okay and that it will allow you to do whatever you want to do and nobody's going to be against you because God is for you. That's where you're going to end up, right? You're going to end up looking for some philosophy, some religious viewpoint. And of course, you won't call it religious, but that's what it is. You'll be looking for some viewpoint to justify what you're doing. Now, have you seen that? It's amazing, isn't it? But then once you justify it, what's the next step? You can see the next step here is you have all kind of problems with relationships. And you can see them in this list. Hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, and envy. Isn't that a good description of what's happening when you get bound by these cords of sin? It destroys relationships, doesn't it? And you can't have a good relationship if this kind of activity is going on in your life. And you know what? This is something that, especially our young people, you need to know this, because as you grow older, you get married, right? What kind of relationship do you want? You want a fruitful relationship, don't you, with your wife? And so you need to be on guard against these temptations that can lead you in the wrong way. But then what's the result? You come up with you decide I want to do what the world is doing. Now I've got a philosophy that allows me to justify and I can do anything I want to do. That's the philosophy of the world, isn't it? And then you have all of these broken relationships. And then what do you have to do? You got a dead in the brain, right? You got to do something to that little space between your ears that that's whispering in your ear, what you're doing is wrong. Right? And you don't want to hear that. Look at what will happen. Drunkenness. And what happens to drunkenness? Drugs and so forth. And you can see that drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Isn't that what's happening to our culture today with the drug culture? You go out and you do these things, and to start with, you think, well, I can justify what I'm doing. Because, you know, I saw it in my family. My older brothers did it, so it was okay for me to do it. And they were supposed to be my example. You get the point, right? But then when the conscience starts to work in your brain, right, all of a sudden you've got to deaden that little voice that keeps saying, what you're doing is wrong. And how do you deaden it? Alcohol? Drugs? And once you get hooked on it, how do you get off of it? You know, there's more suicides today. I don't have the statistics, but you see it all the time on the news. The number of people who are dying daily because of drug overdose. You know, I can remember back in, believe it or not, 1965. I went to San Francisco, and I went to Haight-Ashbury. And it really was hate, not hate. Because when I went there, that's where the hippie generation started. And that's where it got its blooming, if you will. And I can remember going there one Saturday morning. We got into San Francisco a little after midnight. We had to take a bus to get up there. But the next morning, the guy we went to visit, my friend's cousin, he took us to that area of town. And you could see people laying on the streets, literally. I won't describe what they were laying in. And I looked at that and I thought, if that's what drugs will do to you, I don't want to have anything to do with it. And it's amazing how the Lord used seeing all of that wickedness give me a mindset that I didn't want to have anything to do with that, because I don't want to end up in the gutter. I don't want to end up where they're at. But that's what the escapism is, isn't it? Because your conscience is going to tell you that what you're doing is wrong. And then when you try to deaden it with all of these different drugs and so forth, it's going to destroy you. But look at what happens here. You know, that particular portion there in Galatians said, the people who do these kind of things, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And today we have a philosophy going around where you have people saying, well, you know, I was born this way. I was born this way, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. God is, the people are singling me out because I was born this way. Look at this list you see in 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Listen to what it says here. Do you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. That's an incredible list, isn't it? You know, some of you may have seen some of the Way of the Master videos. And there, Ray Comfort uses this particular passage of scripture to talk to people who say, well, I was born that way. And he says, he uses this list and he says, well, how about the people who are thieves, people who steal? Is the reason they're stealing is because they were born thieves? No. And he goes down the list there, and then by the time he gets to the end of the list, they say, well, you know, I wasn't born this way. What I'm doing is a choice. And the choices I'm making are wrong. But listen to what he says. I love what it says here in verse 11 of this passage. Listen. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Such were some of you. I remember Bob Brown telling us about a man that he met. And this man had a terrible childhood. He was abused, and he ended up thinking, well, I was born that way. And he ends up going to the number one, the capital of the worst sin area in the United States, and he lives there for a number of years. And somebody is sharing the gospel with him and shows him this passage of Scripture. But such were some of you. Isn't that the good news? Such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified. What a blessing we have. All of our sins are washed away. We sang that song this morning. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I'm going to have to hurry to get through this, but I want us to think about the type of soil that really produces the kind of fruit that we want in our life. Listen to what it says in Ephesians 5:9 there. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. Now that's the kind of soil you need, right? That's where the fruit of the Spirit is going to come from. It's when it's has goodness, righteousness, and truth. And the person who's doing it, they're trying to look to the Lord and say, Lord, what would you have me do? Do you approve of what I'm doing? And when we see that the Lord approves of what we're doing, now all of a sudden we have boldness to go out and to do what we need to do, don't we? But look at what it says in verse 11 there in that passage. It says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Are we not a light on a hill? We're lights, aren't we? And what happens when light comes into a room? All of a sudden, the things that you couldn't see before, now all of a sudden you can see them. They're exposed, aren't they? And here's what Paul is saying in these verses, that we shouldn't have fellowship with all of these things that we just read about, but we should be doing the things that we're seeking God's approval. Lord, thy will be done, not mine. And we find that when we do that and we're doing it in goodness, righteousness and truth, we'll see that we'll be a bright light. And then what happens, have you ever noticed when you're doing what's right, what happens to people who are doing what's wrong? Do they call you up and say, hey, let's get together and talk some. Hey, let's have lunch together. No, they don't want to be around you, do they? They want to get as far away from you as possible because they know that if they see you, you're going to bring up the topic that they don't want to talk about. You're going to ask them how they're doing in their relationship and their spiritual journey. They don't want to talk about that, so they're going to not want to be around you because they know that when they're around you, you're going to do exactly what we just read there. You're going to expose this unfruitful behavior in their lives. You know, you can see it. Have you ever seen it? I used to see it all the time when I was in the business world. You could walk into a place and here's all the guys standing around and they're telling their dirty jokes and they're doing all this crazy thing. And you walk in and all of a sudden there's a hush in the room. What did you just do when you walk in the room like that? You're exposing what's in the darkness, aren't you? But if you do it in goodness, righteousness, and the truth, and looking for God's will and God to lead you, you'll be the one that'll expose these different things. And one of the ways you'll know that you're exposing a wrong behavior is people won't want to be around you. They want to go somewhere else. But look at the third one. I'm not going to look at John 3:19 in that passage here, but look at the number three. Where does this fruit come from? We know we've got to have the good soil, right, for a fruit, a tree to grow up and to bear fruit. Look at what it says in James 3:17 there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Isn't that amazing? Where does the good fruit come from? It comes from above, doesn't it? And what is it that causes those trees and plants to produce fruit? It's the sunlight coming down from above, isn't it? How does God produce fruit in our lives? Isn't it the sunlight from God's sun coming down and exposing our hearts and helping us and working with us and dealing with us? It's amazing how this works. But he says, it comes from above. And here's a description: pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. It's sown in peace. Isn't that what we all want? Peace? We want peace in our life, don't we? What do we want in our country? Do we want riots? Do we want all the things that you can see on television? Blowing up buildings and doing whatever? Do we want that? No, we want peace in the valley. That's what we want, isn't it? We want to be able to lay our head. How many of you remember back in the days when you didn't lock your doors at night? How many of you remember going to town and leaving your keys in the car and getting out and going shopping and the keys are still there when you get back? I can remember that, seeing that happen in my family back in the 50s. And the doors were not locked. We didn't even have a key to our house. But now my nephew, who lives in that house, he's definitely got locks on it. Living in the same place. We want peace, right? The only way we're going to have peace is to receive the peace that comes from God and then living it out. And if you look at the different character traits that's given here, that's the kind of traits that's going to bring about the fruit of the Spirit and the type of peace that we all want in life. Look at the fourth fruit I've got mentioned here: godly character. It says in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit, and if you'll notice, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. In other words, you won't go anywhere and find a law posted. Don't be happy. Don't have peace. Don't be long-suffering. Don't show kindness. Don't show goodness. There's no law against this, is it? This is what everybody wants. And how do we get it? It's by living and submitting our lives to God and the Holy Spirit controlling our thoughts and our steps and our actions. And that's how we have this, right? But look at the next one. Look at the contrast. Verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. That's amazing, isn't it? You know, it's interesting in Hebrews chapter 10, we're challenged there to consider one another, to provoke one another to what? To love and to good works. when we don't do that and we try to point out everything that's wrong with them so that it makes me look good, we end up with problems, don't we? And we end up, we don't have the Spirit of God working in our hearts and lives. I can remember several years ago, I read a book, and it was titled The Spirit-Led Church. And I put together an outline, and I was thought about preaching on it sometime. But it's interesting to look at all the different characteristics that you read about what the Spirit of God does in people's lives. And what will be the actions that's going on when the Spirit of God is leading and guiding and controlling? And I think you'll see these environments that we just read about. We'll see them. Well, we need to hurry on. Time is marching on. Look at the next one. Fruit that abounds in giving. And I wish we had time to look at all of these different 50-some different fruits that's mentioned in the New Testament. But here is the fruit of giving. Listen to what it says. Now that I seek the gift, but not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Fruit that abounds. Now, you know, isn't it amazing how the resources that we give and how it can go into mission work? Look at the Rockingham County Teacher Association. There's kids that get saved in that ministry every year, isn't it? And many of those young people in those classes, that's the only time they ever get to hear anything at all about the Bible, is in those classes. You know, I'm thankful to the chapel here for how you support two missionaries, Lauren and Wayne. I am so thankful. It's a sweet-smelling savor to me as I think about, you know, other people loving and caring and giving. And that's what giving is all about, isn't it? Now, I didn't plan on speaking on giving or trying to put guilt on anybody about giving, but it's real fruit in it. It's fruit. Look at the next one, the fruit of our lips. And I think by having the fruit of our lips, it's really one of the things that will produce this type of environment that's going to cause real spiritual fruit. Fruit of our lips. Wow. You could go a long way with that, couldn't you? I remember last year we were up in Tennessee with the grandkids, and they were getting ready to start school. And I can remember they had to go to the doctor the next day to get a checkup to be able to go to school. And so I asked the kids, I said, how many would Mark and Eddie, would you like to see what the doctor's going to do when you go in tomorrow and get your examination? And they said, yeah, I'd like to see that. And you know where the doctor always starts, right? Open your mouth wide and say, ah. In Romans chapter 3, listen to what the real physician in heaven sees. He says here in verse 13, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of snakes is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Wow. What if you went to the doctor and he said, there's a snake inside there, inside your mouth. It's that tongue. That tongue can bring out all kinds of different negative things to talk about. All right? It's terrible, isn't it? It's terrible. But what kind of lips do we want? And what kind of a tongue do we want? We want one that's praising God, don't we? And we want to praise God and give thanks, the sacrifice of praise. If you were here for the first meeting this morning, Brother Burt shared Psalm 145, a psalm of David. This was his song. He praised God for his goodness and his greatness. And that's what we need to do, right? We need to praise God with our lips, if you will. But look at another one here. Fruit of evangelism. This is one of my favorite fruits right here. In John 4:35, it says this, Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, look up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Now, isn't that amazing? In a couple of months different farmers will be harvesting the crops, won't they? But what did the Lord say? He says, just look around. The fields are ripe right now. And they're waiting to be harvested. But he says here in verse 36, and he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. I think the point being here, that's being made here, is just look around. Do you see people around everywhere you go that needs the gospel? We do, don't we? We do. It's everywhere. And so what do we need to be doing? You got some people are good at sowing, and you got some people that's good at reaping. You know, it's amazing. Last week out in Arizona, I understand a young 10-year-old girl got saved. And wouldn't it be interesting if you knew all of the sowing that went on in that little girl's life and who it was that talked to her and how the Holy Spirit worked in her heart and life and brought her to Christ. It's amazing, isn't it? We're all laborers together. You know, it's interesting if you go back and look at what the Lord told the disciples before he sent them out on that great mission trip. He told them that, you know what? Same thing. Plentiful crop out there. What we need is more laborers. We need more people that's willing to go to the street, go to their families, and talk to different ones you know about the good news of the glorious gospel. And when you do that, you'll see fruit that will be a result of it. But we'll close with this section right here. Patiently waiting for fruit bearing. Listen to what James says about bearing fruit. James 5:7 says, therefore be patient. That's what we need, isn't it? Does a crop, you go out and plant the seed today, do you go out tomorrow and see the beautiful fruit, everything is ready for you to use the next day? There's a season, isn't it? There's a reason there's a, you know, different seasons in life. There's a fall, there's a winter, there's a spring, there's a summer. And it's amazing how all of these different seasons work together, how that you go and you sow seed, and then all of a sudden you hear 5, 10, 20 years later, someone gets saved as a result of what you did. I think this spectacular in Raleigh yesterday. You know, there's probably kids there that maybe that's the only time that they'll hear the gospel. And you won't know what an impact that had until later on. What does it take? Patience. Listen to what he says. He used a beautiful illustration here. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Now, how long do we have to be patient in our planting, sowing, and reaping? How long do we have to wait? Well, we only have to wait until the Lord comes. So we've got a lot to be busy about. He used the illustration. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. That's what it takes, isn't it? You can plant the seed, but what do you have to do? You have to have patience and wait for the seed to take effect in that person's life. And you have to wait, and sometimes it takes some rain in that person's life before they'll ever come around. You know, the most effective raindrops is the one that falls from your eyes. Tears. When you love somebody and you're praying for them, you can see it in their eyes, can't you? Because usually there will be tears associated with that. But look at what he says do while you're waiting patiently. Verse 8, you also be patient. Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Okay? While you're waiting, what do you need to be doing to yourself? You know, I've discovered that if you focus on the ones that you're trying to share the gospel with, if you're not patient, you can become really disturbed, can't you? I can remember back in the 70s and 80s when we used to do evangelism in Greensboro, and if somebody was rude to us, you know what happened to me? Who do they think they are? I'd get mad at them. I didn't say anything to them, but you know what was going on inside my head, right? I was angry at them. But you know what the Lord has taught me to do? When somebody does not respond properly, when you share the good news with them, whether it's in a track or whatever it is, when you share the good news with them, what do? You wait patiently, and you establish your heart. You start praying for those people that maybe were rude to you. That's what God wants us to do, right? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the planets and Jupiter and Mars. But how patient he must be, he's still working on me. That's true, isn't it? Great song. And so what do we want? What do I want? I want what we've got here in verse 12 of Psalm 92. I want to be able to declare that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and that there's no unrighteousness in Him. And I want to be doing this in my old age. I can't think of anything better to be doing than to be sharing the good news. You know what? I had so many smiles put on my face for 2 weeks when Karen and I went to Newfoundland and we discovered there's nothing new up there. Same kind of people up there there are here. We went up there for 2 weeks and celebrating the Big 5-0. And it was amazing the number of times that we got to talk to people and to share the gospel. And that little heart pin Karen uses, I saw so many tears. People who lost a dad. One lady lost her husband. Another one was struggling with all kinds of issues in her life. But you know what? They were so thankful that Karen gave them that little heart pin. And she'll tell them, I'd like to give you something to remind you that God loves you. And all of a sudden they start crying. I needed that. I need to be reminded that God is not finished with me yet. He wants to establish my heart. He wants to use me, but I've got to be patient. That's it, isn't it? A lot to be thankful for. You know, I've got a verse here that on the right-hand column, the very bottom. Listen to what it says here about a tree that does not bear fruit. It says there in Matthew 7:17, even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." That's true, isn't it? Are we producing good fruit or bad fruit? Are we exposing darkness by being good and doing what's right? Are people throwing rocks at us? That can be a good sign. That means that what we said is really affecting their lives. Just pray that the Lord would use us. You know, it's amazing. I could share with you several stories that I've gone through just in the last few months. Hearing from someone, I had a phone call, but a message last week from one young guy. He said he'd been living in sin for 7 years, but he'd come to the end of himself, and now he's serving the Lord. I could give you many stories like this, but what does God want from each one of us? He wants us to come and submit ourselves to Him and say, "Lord, Your will be done in my life." And when we do that, what will God do? God will start producing fruit in our lives. We may have to have a little patience before we see it all, but the Lord is working. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning for Your precious Son. Father, we thank You that You sent Him here, and He bore so much precious fruit while He walked on the face of this earth. How He healed people. He did all kinds of miracles that couldn't be explained. But Father, we thank You that the greatest miracle occurred on Calvary when He died for our sins. And Father, we thank You this morning that You have made provision for each one of us to come into a relationship with You and to be adopted into Your family and to be a child of God. And Father, we just thank You this morning for the privilege that we have to be Your hands and Your feet, Your light to the world. We have the opportunity to be salt to this world. And so, Father, just help us as we take the good news to people who've never heard it. Oh, Father, I just pray for these DVDs that's been passed out all over the United States. Lord, we just pray that there will be many that will one day will be saved as a result of it. We just commit it all to You and pray that Your will would be done. And Father, I pray for myself that I would be able to bear fruit in my old age. And I just ask this request now in Your Son's precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.